that not a challenge to every one of us? That we who know Jesus and who love Christ make sure we bring people to Jesus. There is no greater sign of love and no greater sign of friendship. Well, I'm so glad you're here. If you have your Bibles with you or your cell phone or iPad or Kindle, I'd invite you to turn it on or open it up to Matthew chapter 6. We're continuing a series of messages called Acts for Life, and we have two more today and next week, and I really think today is probably the one that I am the most uncomfortable with, to be honest, because the message that I've prepared and that the Lord, I believe, gave is a message I never heard growing up. And I grew up not from a believing family, but came to faith through Vacation Bible School. Sunday school kid and a youth group kid and a worship service kid and youth camp kid and mission trip kid and Disciple Now weekend, youth revival. But never can I recollect a message on the passage that I'm about to share. And I have come to the conclusion as to, I figured out why. It's my tribe. I grew up Baptist. Baptists don't We make jokes about food and beating the Methodists to the cafeteria, and we have food and fun and fellowship, and we like to eat at every event at church. A potluck is about as normal as a Bible study in the Baptist tribe. I'm just speaking about my people. I'm not poking fun at my tribe. I'm just saying my tribe loves to talk about scripture memory, loves to talk about prayer, loves to talk about sharing our faith. But we don't talk too much about money and food. The last two weeks, I spent time on money. So I think I need to spend 1 week on food. And what I've had to learn over the years is really outside of my tribe. I've had to read the writings of my Nazarene brothers and sisters. I've had to study the practices of folks like Seventh-day Adventists. Or even Methodists. My charismatic brothers and sisters do this all the time, but I didn't really know anything about it. So I'm just going to conclude, or maybe inappropriately assume, you're as blank slate as I am. I don't think you are, but that's what I'm going to say. Because in Matthew chapter 6, as we studied 3 weeks ago, Jesus is teaching in prayer. He follows up his teaching in prayer with the teaching on fasting and just implies that his followers who pray are also going to fast. So I want to take us there today, but in order to bring us all up to speed, the way I'm going to approach this as frequently asked fasting questions. Frequently asked fasting questions. Question number one, and you have these in your sermon notes or your bulletin there, you can pull those out. FAQs for fasting. Question number one, what is a fast? What is a fast? This is not some theologian's definition. This is a Garrison definition, so you can take it as infantile as it may be. I like things simple. A fast is the abstinence of something for spiritual purposes. Now, what is that something? Well, it most certainly can be food. But it can also be other things like TV or media or one that gets me chocolate or caffeine, soda, coffee, Red Bulls. Some of you need to get off the bull. It might be something as it might be the internet. It might be any sorts of things. It might be dessert. It might be... And now, you have to recognize that it's not a diet plan. It's not to get off an addiction or to detox. It's not to become a more healthy individual. It's the statement or the declaration or the decision that something is going to be withheld for a period of time for could you, for 30 days, only listen to Christian music? That would be a fast. That would be an abstinence of something you like for spiritual purposes. I might call you or invite you, or God may call you, invite you to say, you know what? For a period of a few days, I'm going to not eat lunch and spend that lunch hour in prayer and meditation. It's a spiritual something. It's not for weight or detox or for healthier patterns of life. It's an abstinence of something for spiritual purposes. And there's reason behind it. No one enters into a fast or just because it's a obligation. Second question, who is to fast? Well, this is where Matthew chapter 6, verse 16, 17, and 18 help us. Because a fast really is for two different individuals or possibly even a group. Matthew chapter 6, verse 16 says, and when you fast, remember Jesus is just making an assumption that his followers are going to do. And when you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces that their fasting may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Who is to fast? Primarily, it's an individual choice. Primarily, it's a private choice. Primarily, it's a choice that's done in secret without the knowledge of others. One occasion, I was in seminary, and the seminary invited a gentleman from Oklahoma. I was in seminary in Texas. And he was a pastor in Oklahoma, and he came to our campus to talk about a fasting experience he had gone through. And he got up, and he preached a sermon about fasting and talked about a 40-day fast that he had gone on. And he showed pictures of his body before and his body at the end. And he talked about what he went through spiritually and emotionally and physically and how it revolutionized the spiritual walk. And I kept saying to myself, you just got your reward. You just got it. You may have enamored all of us in the seminarians. You may have impressed all of us preacher boys and preacher girls. But you just shared something private between you and the Lord with a whole lot of people. And that goes absolutely against Jesus' words. When you fast, he says, do not look gloomy as a hypocrite. Do not let folks in on the fact that you are doing something between you and the Lord. Do something between you and the Lord in secret. Wash your face. Anoint your head. Then God, who sees what you do in secret, will reward you. Don't make it public. So many in our Christian lives amplify their spiritual lives and their spiritual disciplines such that everyone thinks, well, they must be holier than me or more spiritual than me or they must be a better Christian than me. Friends, if they brag about their spiritual disciplines, you've got pretty good evidence that you're more spiritual than them. Sign number one of a spiritually mature Christian is humility and going before the Lord in secret. It's God who sees what is done in secret before us. But when we amplify the command, we have earned our reward. So who is to fast? Primarily individuals, but secondly, collections. Throughout the scripture, there are evidences and opportunities where a prophet or one of the judges will call a whole people to a fast. Actually, in American history, this has happened 3 times in our government. Can you imagine? In 3 different occasions in the United States history, 3 presidents have called the entire nation to a fast. The last one happened to Franklin Delano Roosevelt, right after. It's so rare that I can't imagine, as a 21st century Christian, hearing the President of the United States say, all people in this country, we call you to a time of prayer and fasting. That would be absolutely so out of order. But scripturally, biblically, there are occasions where people are called, collections of people. Now, here's an application. couple different passages. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6 says this: "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. And in all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will guide your path." One of the most important verses for you to remember in Scripture is Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. And in all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will guide your path. Fasting helps you trust in the Lord. Lean not on your own understanding. Acknowledge Him in all your ways and have God guide your path. You see, more than anything else, fasting gets you ready for something. It prepares you. And biblically, there are models of this time and time again. Of course, we're followers of Jesus. Matthew chapter 4, verse 1 through 4 tells us Jesus' preparation. Matthew chapter 4, verse 1 through 4, Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. And the tempter, Satan, came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." And Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Jesus utilized fasting to be prepared for the temptation of Satan. Not only is he using that as a means of preparation, but Satan is going to use that as a means of attack. Jesus is hungry. Jesus is weary. It's 40 days of fasting, 40 days and nights of fasting, and he's hungry, the scripture says, as man's flesh would be quite hungry. And the enemy uses that hunger to attack him, saying, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones." But because I believe Jesus had been praying and fasting for 40 days and 40 nights, he had a clarity of vision. He had a clarity of mind. He had an ability to see the trap of the enemy, and he quotes Scripture to defend that temptation. See, friends, sometimes we need to get prepared. Someone's after you. Nehemiah is another example of one who uses fasting to prepare. If you have your Bible or your phone or your iPad, turn to Nehemiah chapter 1. If you know anything about the book of Nehemiah, you know that Nehemiah has been exiled for a generation in Babylon, where all the people of Israel have been moved away from their homeland. And Nehemiah, probably born in this foreign land, gets news of what's happening back home. And the scripture says in Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 3 through 4, "And they said to me, the remnant there in the province who have survived the exile is in great trouble and shame. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down, and its gates are destroyed by fire." As soon as I heard these words, I sat down and wept and mourned for days. And I continued fasting and praying. It will be moments after this time of prayer and fasting and mourning and sitting before the Lord that he will go before the king and ask the permission of the king to go back to Jerusalem. Friends, one of the things that you might find in fasting is that God is about to prepare you for something good, for something that's on the way, something that you, at the present, couldn't imagine yourself taking on, something in the moment that you couldn't fathom getting involved in. And because you have taken a season to hear a need, pray about the need, fast before the Lord our God, sit before His wisdom, you may find yourself chosen. I have talked to missionary after missionary after missionary, and they will tell me what God used to get them ready is a season of prayer and fasting to prepare them for the call that was to come. Daniel, another exile, is a part of this. Daniel, another first fasting follower of God in Daniel chapter 1. He's not only in the exile, he's been taken from his home. He has been before them a 10-day challenge. He says unto his food bringers, his captors, listen, for the next 10 days, I'm going to eat vegetables and drink water. You give all your meat and wine to the other guys, and at the end of 10 days, we'll see who was able to accomplish this. God uses that fast. He uses that challenge to bring Daniel to a place of elevation. There's another application. If you are finding yourself in a place of tempting, pulled into the world by their customs and their language and their ways and their patterns, and you just feel yourself being sucked in to more and more love for this place, it may be that you need to add to your spiritual disciplines a season of fasting to distance yourself. I will put before them, give me 60 days. Don't be with each other for 60 days. If you're really going to try to go before the Lord and be married in His sanctuary before His covenants, give me at least the rest of your engagement, not physically together. Now, I'm not a police officer. I never know if they're going to be honest with my challenge. But maybe, just maybe, they will see that challenge as a word from the Lord to say, listen, we have not followed the pattern of God. We have not marked ourselves as believers in Christ in this area of our life. And so we're willing to give it a period of time, 10 days, maybe that would be all they could get, maybe 6 months, the rest of the engagement, whatever the case, to be abstaining from that. Obvious reasons, right? But also for spiritual. Maybe you are feeling today that you have been so drawn into the ways of the world. Maybe it's because you're always on your cell phone. Maybe it's because you have been addicted to caffeine and soda and cigarettes and tobacco. Maybe you have been drawn into the world where you have an addiction to the internet. And maybe for a period of 10 days, 15 days, 6 months, you're just going to abstain from something for spiritual purposes. My church, for what God has in store. So, it prepares us. Question number two. Fasting calls us. Calls us. I've alluded to this already, but Acts chapter 13, verse 1 through 3 tells us how this works. Acts chapter 13, verse 1 through 3 is the church of Antioch. And there's a group of believers who are gathered there ready to see what God might do in them. And the scripture says in Acts 13, 1 through 3, now there, in the church of Antioch, prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Ananias, a lifelong friend, Herod of Tetrarch, and Saul. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work in which I have called them. Then, after fasting and praying, they laid their hands. This moment in Acts chapter 13 is the beginning of missionary work. Fasting not only prepares us, it might be that in a season of fasting and praying and worshiping before the Lord, you feel called. Called out for missionary service, called out for vocational service, called out for preaching ministry, teaching ministry, called out to do something that you have been designed to do. Thank you. says that Satan is the father of lies, and everything that he says is a lie. Scripture, Jesus says he is a thief who comes to steal and kill and destroy. You see, I don't think that Satan is some imaginary, mythical, out of the ordinary thing. I believe that Jesus spoke more about Satan than anybody else in Scripture, and when Jesus speaks to an issue, he's telling the truth. So I do believe there is something going on outside of our visual eyes, and I do believe there are attacks on Christians, not possessions. Christians cannot be possessed by the demonic forces, because those of us who have been born of the Holy Spirit cannot be at war with the Holy Spirit. However, they can be attacked. I got a weapon, do I not? I got a shield, do I not? I have an armor that God has given me to defend against attacks. And one weapon, one additional tool I have in my tool belt to defend myself from the attacks of the evil one is to use prayer and fasting to amplify my spiritual discipline. You see, there's something that happens when you fast. Your belly growls. If you're fasting from food, one day, 2 days, 3 days, you are going to feel hungry a lot. And your stomach will growl, and to me, this is how I view it, it's like an alarm clock or a siren or a reminder bell that says, so every time breakfast hits and my stomach lunchtime, when my stomach goes ding, 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 ding. It's a reminder, God, man does not live on bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. You see how it works? In the evening time, when I'm longing for something to eat, I see that as an opportunity to long for the things of God, not the things of this earth. You see what happens when you fast is you are saying to your flesh, you will receive less and your spirit will receive more. The Bible teaches in Galatians that there is a war between the flesh and the spirit. I'm just saying fasting tells the flesh, not now, spirit, come on. And the battle that wages in your mind if you're abstaining from internet or from cell phone or from Facebook or your body from food or caffeine or tobacco, possibly even sex. You're telling the flesh, you don't have control of me. And you're telling the spirit that God dwells within you, grow, multiply, expand, show me what you want, defend me from this attack, prepare me for what you have for me, call me to whatever you may have me called. We put it together and we took it out in one cold night and my son was like, Dad, I want to see the moon. So this cost us $12. I don't think we're going to get a clear image of the moon, but don't tell him that. So we set it up and we lined it up actually through his bedroom window. It was a little cold. And I tried to get it zoomed in. Tried to get it focused in. Made the adjustments. Made the modifications. Tried to get it angled up on the moon so that he could see the moon. But honestly, I was struggling with getting it. Ever have tried to lose weight, you know one of the what I have actually taken. And the focus is my efforts. The same way fasting is focused. You can tell me your spiritual life is give you two. Number one, we've already mentioned Matthew 6:16-18. When you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, who speak in their faces, but the fast may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. So when you fast, anoint your head, wash your face, that your fast may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret. Look at Isaiah chapter 58, verse 3 and 4. It's on the screen. Why have we fasted? Why have we fasted and you have not seen it? Why have we humbled ourselves and you take no knowledge of it? That's the question that these individuals ask God. He says, Lord, the day of your fast, you seek your own pleasure. That's all we have. Behold, we fast only the world and the body of the people, the wicked spirit. Fasting like yours, this world will not be the first of all. I've been around some people. They say, helper, being your friend, being your brother in Christ. Quick tips. You're going to tackle this spiritual discipline. You're going to tackle this amplification, this intensification, this focusing tool that God gives us. Four quick tips. Here we go. Number one, start slow. It is not wise for you to begin tomorrow with a 40-day fast. And for some of you who have been in the Christ for a long time, who are mature, who have used the spiritual discipline, I would say that might be the case. But if you are new, just like I wouldn't tell you, hey, you're new to Jesus, you just came to faith, go read all 66 books of the Bible tonight. You don't tell someone to ratchet up to the highest level. So start slow. Try it out. Get used to it. Use the scripture as your guide. Number two, when you're gospel every time we baptize anyone. Death